Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, a lesbian, assistant director, and about 8 other jobs right now, so I'll let her tell you, and not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her stories, both the loved ones and the war ones, with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, Nicole, I can't even tell what you're doing now, so maybe you could tell everybody what you're doing, because it's just too much for me.
No, well, right now, as everybody already knew, I am I'm currently helping care for my grandmother, who is we've just come to the conclusion that she's just nuts. So I'm taking care of a crazy grandmother, and then when I'm not doing that, I am repping a band and working now for America's Got Talent.
Wow. Wow. And how are you liking it?
Everything is really, really good. You know, I've only done some of, like, the legwork as far as the America's Got Talent gig. They're officially going to be in New York next week, so that's when I'm going to be more hands-on with them. And, you know, as everybody knows, as far as the music goes, the band is doing incredibly, incredibly well. We've just launched complete promotions over in Asia right now. We had a little bit of interest over there, so we're just kind of taking the ball and running with it. Right now they're having like a little mini tour of Pennsylvania where they're going to play 2 or 3 shows out there this weekend. And that's about it. So, you know, it's really, really, you know, things are coming along very nicely.
Wow. Wow, I'm loving hearing that. It's very exciting. And we look
yes,
forward to
absolutely.
You know, seeing everything that you've had your hand on in the last couple of months. Now, I got a very interesting, well, I don't know if you know, I did a little workshop this week on life after death.
Yes, I do remember you saying.
Okay, and it went very, very well. And one of the women there, Ellen, told me that, I told my cousin to call in, Leah, about to your show about, you know, her health. I don't know if you remember, she was going to get an operation in on her
yes,
voice.
Yes,
she was
yes,
afraid
I do
she
remember.
Couldn't talk. And remember that? And, you know, I told her she, you know, would be fine. And Ellen said, you know, we can't believe how peaceful Leah got before her surgery after she called in. So that was good.
Aww.
And she did tell me that Leah is doing very well. And then Leah just sent me an email and she would like to tell some of the things that have happened, because I did deliver a pretty big message from her cousin Ellen to give Leah, and she did deliver it to her. So Leah said
aww.
All the healing's been taking place in the last few days. So her emails that she just sent me one with a poem. I mean, it's just wonderful, wonderful things
oh,
to hear.
Oh, excellent,
how
excellent
so
to
I
hear.
Think, so we, she's the 714 caller. She's calling.
All
from,
right, yeah, we will throw her on right now, and then I will start screening. But let's see what Leah has to say.
Good.
Hello, Leah. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. How is, your voice sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So your operation did okay.
Absolutely incredible. And
oh,
my cousin's name is Eileen.
Eileen. Oh, I thought she was Ellen. She's Eileen.
No, it's Eileen. It's mm-hmm. Eileen. And
okay.
I wrote you a lot of stuff. And I feel like just about completely healed. And
wow.
Emotionally, and she'll start crying again, but it's different. Emotionally, physically, I am getting stronger, and
good.
I have met my soulmate and had some questions about that, which I...
Okay, and when did you meet your soulmate?
It was about 3 days before my surgery.
Wow.
I changed a whole profile that I had in an online group, and he contacted me. He found me the next day.
Wow.
And I'm wanting to know, I had asked some questions about what the highest level of soulmates is, if it's twin souls or what. I had asked if this was his last incarnation because he had mentioned that. And my purpose, to make him happy and help him on his journey. And just want to know about all that stuff. And I wrote, did you get my second email? I wrote about forgiving my evil grandmother.
Yes, I did. And that was important for you to have forgiven her, because not her actions, because she really wasn't so forgivable.
Mm-hmm.
In her actions, she had a lot of rage issues, the woman in general. I don't know if you were a victim of her rage, but she seemed to be, you know, always had some rage at someone. Do you know that about her?
Oh yeah, I lived with her.
Okay, so you know, she wasn't an easy person to live with, for sure. And forgiving the person but not the actions is important, because she did a lot of unforgivable actions, for sure. And she's, you know, not in a very nice realm of heaven. She's not that easy to access and talk to, but she is a person who's saying that this is your year. What's showing up in your cards is a year of love and lots of peace and joy for you, which is something you need. And, you know, you're talking about your soulmate. Have you actually met him in person yet?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Good. And does he live near you?
No, but he probably will be.
Okay, good. How far away is he from you?
Right now he's about an hour and a half.
Okay, that's doable. It's not like he's 12 hours away.
No.
And the fact that you've seen him, and he's helping you through all of this. And you said he's very spiritual. He's a very spiritual man.
Yes.
Oh, good. And you asked the very interesting questions, what's the highest levels of soulmates? There are different kinds of soulmates. There are some that are just friend soulmates, but you're talking about romantic soulmates. There are different levels. Some are not all meant to last forever. Some are here to help us heal. Some are here for a short period of time. Some are here forever. Twin souls is something that I don't talk about very much on the radio show. It is sort of rare for people to meet their twin souls at this stage of human consciousness. It's usually in our last incarnation. And it's the people are brought together for humanity, not just for their own love affair. There's something that they're supposed to lift humanity, either through music or science or art. They can be difficult relationships because, you know, other soulmate relationships, you need to heal 75% of your issues to maintain it, which is a lot of issues to heal, but it's not 99 to 100% of issues. And if you're in your last incarnation and you meet your twin soul, you're expected to heal 99% to 100% of your issues, which a lot of people can't do that. They start running from the love. The alchemy of these two souls meeting is important. It helps one of them or both of them help humanity, but it doesn't always work as a love affair. Now, that pretty much is going to say that they're probably going to have another incarnation because they didn't get it right, so I wish they could. But in terms of you, I do believe the man that you've met is a very high soulmate, because the healing, what you showed here, is really deep childhood healing, that soulmate love always brings up unhealed issues. And this one seemed to have brought up your last whammy of unhealed issues, and part of those unhealed issues are why you needed the surgery on your voice and in that area. I mean, you weren't speaking up and you weren't telling the truth about certain abuses. So the fact that this came up right after you've met him is amazing. Do you feel that way too?
Yes.
Right? I mean, you did an awful lot of healing in a very, very, very short time. So, you know, that's important. Whether he's a twin soul or he's a soulmate, time will reveal more of that to you. And, you know, depending on how much he helps you accelerate in your life mission, do you have a mission that you still feel you want to be doing, something very strong?
Yeah, to serve him and help him.
Okay, now, to serve and help him can't be really just a mission. You have to have sort of a mission for yourself. What is the mission for yourself as well?
Take care of myself so I can be there for him.
Right, and how about in terms of something for humanity? Because if it's twin souls, it would be something greater than for the two of you. If not, mm-hmm. then to be a perfect soulmate love affair is a beacon of light for the world to see and quite healing in itself. But usually twin souls have something to accomplish for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And you just met him, so that might be way too soon to even know that. It could have to do with the healing you're doing now. Maybe, and I notice you're a great writer, by the way. So you might have a book you're going to write that will help people. So you are a very good writer.
Thank you.
Now, I can see, you know, he looks like a very good person. You know, he's a person that you're going to have to see because the relationship's so new. All love starts out looking good in the beginning. You know, when fear kicks in, sometimes it can take on a different twist and turn. So in the throngs of love and in the beginning, it all looks perfect. It's over time we begin to reveal and see whether it's for the long haul or the short haul. It is kind of hard to tell until some time has passed, you know, because it does bring up unhealed issues. Sometimes it could bring up in him, but right now it looks very, very promising here. A year of like really peace and joy is what you're supposed to have this year. And you might want to ask, you know, any questions that you might have besides that. But to tell whether it's a twin soul or a soulmate, it's a little hard to, at this point, to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure you need to know at this point.
Okay. Is this his last incarnation? Do you know that, or?
Well, it appears that it certainly could be.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, twin souls will meet in both of their last incarnations, and that's something that this love can help you really, really heal all your issues. Very much he's on a healing path, for sure. I mean, he hasn't had an easy life either, by the way. I don't know if you know about that.
I know.
Okay, so the two of you might have some still childhood issues to heal, some issues as to why you were both born into such dysfunction, and that's to end it, and together you guys can really do that. Very peaceful, loving time ahead of you. Just relax on it and try not to need all the answers right now and just see what emerges and what comes forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get messages from your mom? Because your mom said she was with you through your whole operation.
No, but I wrote about her out of the clear blue today and sent it to you.
So you must make you feel like you're starting to connect with her, and some forgiveness issues with her as well might emerge.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just...
She was very, very abusive to me as well.
Right, and those are, you know, in your family there's a lot of rage issues that are passed down from, you know, from one generation to the next. And there's a lot of severe family dysfunction that you probably were not all that aware of. And all you saw was the rage and the aftermath of it. But both your mom's really trying hard to heal her issues so she could be there for you. So that's the most important thing. And please call in the near future and let us know how you're feeling with this love and what's emerging. And keep your writing, because that's where most of your healing is going to start taking place, in the thoughts that are popping in your head and in the writing that you're doing.
I've been writing a long time and like endlessly lately, and I don't feel like I'm writing. I feel like it comes through me.
Exactly, because most writers do channel, and you want to channel what pieces of information are coming through, what messages. That's why I said you have a book that would really be very helpful, so you might find yourself channeling that book and, you know, just be open to it. Of course, your health looks like it's going to get much better. You do need to rest a little more than you're doing. Are you trying to rest?
Yeah, I knew about that.
Okay, just a little bit more rest. You know, you're feeling good, but just don't push it.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know you're anxious to get well. The reason that your soulmate was brought before the operation was to give you this total will to live. And did it help with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And now that you have that will to give, I know you want to get up and roller skate all over the place and fly, but you're being asked to, like, just take it a little easy, because even though you flew through the operation with flying colors, it was a, you know, pretty big operation, so you're asked to kind of, you know, let your body heal. But nothing is, your cards look very, very good. He's, you know, do you speak to this man all the time now?
Yes, I have to say that I totally, with every fiber in my being, believe that he is my soulmate.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And again, we have more than one soulmate. We don't
yes,
have
I
just one.
That.
But we only have one twin soul. So I'm not saying he couldn't be, because it's very possible this man could be. The amount of healing you've done so rapidly is unusual. I mean, like, such a rapid from A to Z in record time. So that, you know, he has great healing powers too, so.
Yes, we both know that.
Right, and, you know, just relax a little bit and call in the near future and let us know what happens.
I will, and I just feel like I owe you a lot.
Oh,
I mean, I don't owe you anything, but you know what I mean. I just
thank
you so much, because you've been pivotal in this.
And I appreciate that so much, and I just love that. Not only did your operation turn out well, but you got a soulmate right in the same breath. And we were talking about both in the reading, and I said, boy, you have instant karma, lady.
I've actually been having a lot of preparation for all my life for healing, so that's why it appears rapid.
Right, and again, well, that's true. And even when people are brought to me, I have to be honest with you, they've had to do a lot of their own inner homework and be just about ready to get that massive healing done, and I just kick them forward. But they've already done all their inner homework for a very long time, and that's exactly the process. They're just ready. They just need that little extra kick that maybe there's something they need to know, and that supplies a lot of answers for them.
I have one more question.
Sure.
I'm thinking of letting him move in here, possibly temporarily. Do you have any feedback on that?
I would just advise you to take it a little slow with that, just to make sure that it's right, because once you have someone move in with you, it's not that easy to get them out.
Yeah, I know.
And I had this with a reading with one of my clients yesterday. Someone kind of conveniently moved in after Hurricane Sandy, and it was supposed to be temporary, and he was not out yet, and that's like 8 months ago. And it's a real legal battle sometimes to get people out. So until you're really sure, you don't have to rush anything. If he, you know, if this is meant to be, you could take it a little bit slow, and see what happens, and also just get your health a little bit stronger too.
Yes, I will.
Okay. And, you know, again, call in and let us know what's going to be happening.
Okay.
But I would wait a little bit before I jumped in to have him move in.
Okay. May I continue to email you some of my writing?
Oh, sure.
Or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I love it. I woke up this morning. I said, what a great email. No, please do.
Okay.
I always appreciate good writing and good healing. But, I mean, the writing itself is impressing me.
My mother wrote, too.
Ah, so at least you got that gift from her. Sometimes we have to be thankful for the gifts our parents give us. And, you know, even if they come a hard way. And your mom certainly gave you the gift of writing.
So the initial issue, the sexual abuse, and I'm thinking it was covert by my father. That's all I know, so...
Right, and keep meditating on it, and if there's more, it will be revealed. So just...
Well, I feel like I worked that out a long time ago and healed from that. So that message kind of shocked me.
Right, but there's also just a lot in the family. I was talking more about the family. Your grandmother was sexually abused, consequently her rage and lunacy. So have some compassion for her. Not all sexually abused people become lunatics, but if you were going to become one, that certainly doesn't help. So a little compassion for her too, for what she was through. And indirectly then, those of us who are beaten and abused by these people, get the backlash of sexual abuse, because the rage is really their symptom. And so we catch some of the post-traumatic stress disorder that they have. It just hits us that way. Well, anyway, I really do have to try to take a few other callers, okay?
Okay, thank
right,
you so
bye.
Much, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we have Camille, I think, in California.
Yes, we do. And Camille just has a love question for you, Cindy. And basically, she's got a special somebody in her life, all right, but that, who's a special somebody but not a special somebody. They're kind of just a neighbor. And a little while back, something did happen, and then it kind of just fizzled. And Camille wants to know whether or not she should be opening up that door for anything to happen or whether or not that's going to be inappropriate. So cause I guess I'm going to consider that they're neighbors. So let's see what Camille's cards say.
Okay.
Hello,
hi there.
Camille. You are on the air.
Thanks.
Okay. So it looks like, you know, there's two cards of a guy turning his back on love. And to get out of my eight spread, I got two of them. It's not a lack of this man caring about you, but he's a real commitment phobic, this guy.
All right.
So, you know, I think he was surprised by the passion and feelings that he did have for you. And, you know, think about this, Camille. You're a hot, you know, you're a very sexy woman. You're intelligent. What man wouldn't want to come and be entertained and loved by you? A man who's afraid. It doesn't even
right.
make sense. You weren't asking anything of him. You didn't say, okay, now you have to marry me. You weren't putting a leash or a noose around his neck. The fact that he's not here, if he didn't have such strong feelings for you, he'd be knocking on the door and just sort of being, you know, you're this guy that comes and goes as he pleases. But it's because he does care about you a lot. He doesn't really want to hurt you. On a day-to-day basis, he's murdered this guy, by the way. He's not an easy person. So, you know, you seem to have brought out the best in him. But just know that it's not a lack of him caring about you. He is a major commitment phobic. Did you talk to him at all after, you know, you guys were together?
Well, you know, it's one of those. He's, we didn't speak for a good year and a half, almost 2 years, even though I can literally stand in my kitchen, which I'm doing now, on my tippy toes, and I can see his garage from my kitchen. Yeah, it's that close, yeah. And when we had a falling out, we were acquainted from May of 2009 until September of 2010, and it was some silly argument, I can't even remember about what, and then we didn't speak. Until I ended up with someone else who was similar to him but the opposite of him, if that makes any sense.
Yes, of course.
And then I ended up having my daughter. And then on Independence Day of 2012, our paths crossed. And he said, yeah, I heard you had a baby. I thought it was a joke. And he's like, how are you? How have you been? So now it's been a year of just kind of, you know, pie and by. And this week, 2 days ago, I was walking my toddler, he was walking his dogs, and we crossed paths. And he says, I see you walking. You walk a lot. So I'm on his radar. I know that. I'm on
right.
his radar.
And
yeah.
again,
and
commitment phobics can end a relationship by playing the game of blemish. There's one little fight, one little thing, and the person runs.
Yes.
So that's
yeah.
a giveaway because, you know, when people who are in toxic love affairs, they throw acid in each other's face, beat each other up, and put each other in jail, and they're still together. There's like nothing those people can do that separates them. In
exactly.
higher love or better love, a person who's really a commitment phobic will look for the slightest thing to run. He's a runner. He doesn't want commitment. You know, you have a daughter now. He doesn't want that commitment. You know, he just doesn't want to grow up very much that way. So, I mean, you're going to see him in the whole bit, but it doesn't look like he's going to move it forward very much here.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad news to you, but, you know, it's just too much for him. Now that you have a daughter, it's just too much for him. It's just...
Okay.
You know, it's not that he doesn't care about you and doesn't like you. He's also was hurt when you were with that other person. I mean, meanwhile, he wasn't talking to you. I don't know what he expected you to do.
Right.
But, you know, he is, you know, you can maybe the next time you see him, ask him what happened. He probably won't even have an adequate answer to go, I don't know. But, I wouldn't count on him too much.
Okay.
You know, you want for
that's
your daughter
fine.
Some more stability, a man that's not going to come in your life for a few months and run. And that's
right.
sort of his modus operandi, this guy. He hits and runs.
Wow.
You know? So,
yeah, and we weren't even serious. It wasn't anything. We were more friends than anything, but it always kept, we always crossed paths. And we had a couple of nice moments. Maybe we kissed and that's about it, but there was always something. So, you know, this is pretty much closure. I would like to go back to friendly, neighborly type of thing, you know, caring about a person, human to human, on a personal human level. But if it's not appropriate for a romantic relationship, that's okay with me.
I'm just saying he won't probably step up to the plate. So
mm.
I don't know if you need a man living behind you that sort of comes into your life with your daughter and she likes him and then it's ended. You know, for
right.
her sake, you know, think about that. He's
oh,
a little
yeah.
too close to for comfort.
Right.
So, but there is love in your future, by the way, so just relax a little bit on that and, you know, keep going
okay.
for your walks. You never know what nice man you might stumble across.
That's right. You know, that's right.
And money
okay.
looks better, too. Thanks for calling in, and I hope
good.
Your daughter's
thank you.
Doing great.
She is. Thank you so much.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me see. You're going to go over to Arizona, I think. Nicole, are you there? Okay, yeah, I think Nicole's in someone in Arizona. Alfina, Arizona, love and relationship.
All right, Cindy, are you there?
Yep, I'm just looking at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to turn my mic back on, Cindy. I'm sorry.
Oh,
right,
that's typical.
We are going over. Yeah, I know. It just kept sitting there. You know, when you hit it, it just kept circling and circling. I'm sitting there going, hello, and you're not even listening to me. So, all right. We are going over to Arizona. We're going to speak to a lovely woman named Alfina over there. And she's got a love and relationship question. And it's very, very specific. She just wants to know if Dell will be returning to her life, Cindy. So let's
oh,
see what
question.
You have to say about Dell. Hello, Alfina, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Alfina, that's a good question now. The cards here show that he's a man who doesn't always play fair with people. He's sort of the one who has to call all the shots. Do you know that about him? Like when he comes
yeah.
and he goes, okay? The hard part about, again, it's not, you know, it's not too different from the last caller where people have commitment issues. And commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do cruel things. We sort of don't know why they're not in our life. And with him, he's not always telling you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Do you know that about him, that he doesn't tell the whole truth?
No, I know him to be, like, pretty honest.
Okay. And why is he not here in your life?
I was told, well, I was given some advice. So I broke up with him.
For advice from who and where? You are you like one of these people that like a psychic addict that gets like a lot of advice from psychics?
No, but it was just like yeah, it was like advice from different people against the relationship. So
okay, and what's going on is that he's. Well, why did they tell you to break up with him?
Oh, it was long distance.
Okay, now long distance right away gives off commitment phobic. And you might have your own closet commitment phobia to have gotten drawn into a relationship that's long distance. And with long distance relationships, people have no idea what the person's doing on the other side of the, you know, country or wherever they are. And, you know, for you, unless it was going to be brought closer, how long were you going to keep going on with this long-distance relationship?
Well, he said in the beginning that he was willing to take it as far as it was going to go. And he actually does have family here in Arizona. So, yeah, and he was planning on meeting up, like, in November, like Thanksgiving.
Of last year?
No, this year.
And have you actually ever met him?
In person, no.
Okay. Now, having long distance relationships with people we've never met, and I can't say this enough. When my father was 89, he was on the internet and had about 20 girlfriends who all thought he was something he wasn't. Nobody knew who he was. We don't always know who these people are, and even if they are who they say they are, age-wise, and other things, you don't know them, and you don't know who they are until you actually meet them. So, you know, that's something, it almost gives us the illusion of being in a relationship without really being in one, because it's like almost like a pen pal, and he's not all who you thought he was. He's not the most honest person. You know, you may think he is, but why did the people just say long distance? Did he do something that made them say you should break it off?
No, like, that's just the thing. They were against the whole long distance crap. Like, they're just like, oh, it's long distance. Just give it up. There's no way it's going to work. Yeah.
And again,
that was it.
Well, where does he live?
He lives like 2 states away.
Okay, so that's, you know, why do you have to wait till November to visit somebody? If you're having, you know, my advice is if you're having a long distance that you met on the internet or somehow, why would
actually you... he wanted to like meet sooner, but I didn't have, I sort of didn't want to at that time. So he was here and I didn't go to see him because I had other things to do.
Okay, now, you're having a relationship with someone, and he's coming 2 states away, and you too busy to see him. You have your own closet commitment issues. Are you aware of that? Like,
no.
You say you want love, but if I was having a relationship long distance and someone was coming over here to me, I would certainly want to make sure I'm not too busy to see him. So, you know, now, of course,
well, that's the thing. Like, he wasn't just coming here just to see me. He had things to do here. So within during that time, he wanted me to come over, and I'm like, I can't just drop everything right now and, you know, go running to you just because you say so. Like, I have things I need to take care of, too.
Right. And, of course, it looks like this, you know, with the two of you, it's not going to really go anywhere. I'm not saying he's out of the picture. He might try to contact you again. But, you know, right now he's sort of turning his back on you. He thought you would come. I mean, he's a guy. Remember I told you, when he snaps his fingers, he wanted you there. And when you didn't do that, it sort of let him know, you know, you're not the person who's going to jump through hoops for him. And he is sort of that kind of a man. Did you try to contact him yourself?
When?
After this whole thing.
Yeah, I did.
And did he tell you he didn't want to see you anymore or talk to you?
No, he was just kind of upset, and he said, what did he say? He was sorry for hurting my feelings. It wasn't his intentions, yada-da, this and that, and he just wants to be happy. So that was it.
And happy meaning without you?
I have no idea. I didn't ask.
Okay. it looks – and how long ago was all this?
Two or three days ago.
Okay. Again, you might have to, you know, if you want to get him back in your life, you might have to be the one who, you know, talks to him. But it looks like the two of you are just sort of not on the same page. And, you know, it's not that it couldn't be or wouldn't be, but there are too many obstacles to overcome. And
what kind of obstacles? Like, just because it's long distance and that's
it? And if you couldn't, like, put what you needed to do aside to meet him when he was there, how are you going to make any of the changes necessary if he
No, because
here?
I had something to do that day. It was just, like, unexpected. Like, he could have told me maybe a week in advance or a couple days in advance, but that was, like, you know,
well, how do you make
here,
an unexpected
like,
trip to Arizona from 2 states away?
I have no idea, but, you know, he didn't tell me he was coming. So I'm like, okay.
Right. And, again, it just looks like there's a kind of, like, communication issues here. He doesn't really play fair. I mean, he's mad at you about this. And, you know, it really looks to me like this is almost going to end. But I do see you with a wonderful person in the future, you know, with a, you know, a husband.
So I guess that was my main question. That's the one I'm asking about. So that's what I need, like, an answer to. Yes or no? Like, is he going to come back? Is he not? Then
he might come back, but I think you're going to have to jump through hoops for him at this point, because he's letting it make it plain and clear. I mean, he said he wants to be happy, and he hung up, but he's mad at you.
Oh,
he's
he didn't
fuming.
Hang up.
No, but I mean, he said goodbye, but he's hanging, you know, he's fuming over it, so, you know, that you weren't there. So, again, it's not
so
that
the answer to my question is maybe?
He doesn't know what he wants to do. I'll tell you the truth right now. He's back and forth with his feeling. Yeah,
Cindy,
I mean, Nicole, you help me here, because, I mean...
I think that you're having one of those moments where you don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Alfina,
the answer to your question is no.
Most likely he is going to be back, but he will only resurface if you are willing to bend over backwards and compromise who you are in order to have him back. I think that he's going to be circling around you until he sees if he can get what he wants from you, and if you cannot give him what he wants, he will be gone from your life for good.
Right, that's exactly, because the cards that came up with him is it's his way or no way, and that
usually what happens when people have like very, very rigid cards, it's really, really hard to say what definitively they're going to do, because what you're getting is the whole scope of the person. You're not able to compartmentalize what exactly that person is you know, thinking about, because their thoughts are not all over the board. You just get the overall behavior. So if his cards are this rigid in that he's kind of like a control freak, and, you know, he's not willing to let go, that he's got, you know, commitment issues and things of that nature, normally when they're that rigid, that's just the biggest, you know, flag that you can see. So it's hard to say, well, what will he do from point A to point B? You know what I'm saying? But if his cards are that rigid, if I were you, I wouldn't even give him another thought. I would just, you know what, if he's gone, let him stay gone.
And also, but if you don't think he has commitment issues, most people don't get involved in long-distance relationships unless they have commitment issues. Because love changes everything. It changes everything.
Are you saying that I have commitment issues too? I think you're a closet commitment phobic
because...
I totally disagree with that.
You know, that you don't... When was the last time you had a committed relationship?
It was even that long after I got with this other guy.
Okay, and how long were you with that person?
7 years.
Okay, now... That might have made you afraid now to commit here with this guy, because you probably weren't afraid You might be a little afraid. So long distance is sort of a safe way to do it, kind of tiptoeing into a relationship. Closet commitment phobic doesn't mean that you will never commit. It means you need to tiptoe into something.
No, it means you got to, in a sort of a sense or whatever, you know, you have to kind of, you're not just going to, you know, go take the cannonball into the water. You're going to kind of, you know, let your feet get wet a little bit first, and then you're going to kind of ease into it. You know, I mean, if you really, really think about it, even from a psychological standpoint, you know, why would somebody want to enter into a relationship who is geographically inaccessible?
Because it just makes for a lot of built-in. We can't see each other. We can't be together.
Exactly.
You might
don't have
want
anybody
to
answer to you. You don't have anybody to look at face to face. You've got keys on a keyboard. You've got a telephone call. You've got text messages, and you don't physically have a body there and nobody to physically look at face to face.
Right. And so sometimes it's just maybe this is what you needed at this point. It's an illusion of a relationship more than a relationship. If you have not met somebody, it's not a relationship until you meet them. Just the way it is. You have no idea if there's any chemistry. You don't have any idea who the person is. So it's not a relationship. It's an illusion of a relationship. You know, because, and that's why I'm saying anybody who's entering into an illusion of a relationship for any amount of time without meeting always makes me question, why don't you want to meet this person sooner than later? I mean, I had a client, and I'll give you the example. She was talking to this guy for a year on the internet. She had never met him.
Oh, I didn't know him all that long. So first and foremost, I didn't know him all that long.
Well, that's okay.
I didn't know him for years and years and stuff like that.
All right, but even so,
to begin with,
this person, you know, talked to this man for a year, and she thought he was everything. And, you know, I saw it in the cards, you're going to go there, and you're going to be disappointed. He's not at all who you think he is. And when she went there, she didn't even get out of off the airplane practically. When he's throwing up, says he can't deal with this, she's got to go back to New York. I mean, so it's sort of sooner than later, it's important to, you know, meet and see who he is to make sure he's at all who you think he is. So that's why I said you're fighting on the illusion of a relationship, but if you haven't met somebody, you don't know who they are. You have no idea who they are.
Okay, so he's non-existent and should stay non-existent? Like,
no, I'm not saying that. He was trying not to be non-existent and, I guess, spontaneous, or maybe he just wanted to see how you would respond. But now he'll play the game of blemish. Well, she didn't jump through hoops for me, so now I'm off the hook and I don't have to go see her anymore. I mean, commitment phobias can find the oddest reasons to break up with people, or the slightest thing. So, that might be the blemish he looks for. She didn't jump through hoops when I came to Arizona. And he'll find all his friends who will justify that that's correct, that you were wrong. So, again, think about maybe, seeing what's there, but moving on a little bit and seeing what other relationships might be on the horizon a little bit closer for you.
I already have somebody else right now, too. So, but that's the thing I was talking about. Like, is he going to reenter? If not, then that's cool.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really look like it too much. And,
so no.
Well, you can let us know if we're wrong, but, I would like to hear
from
you.
So the answer to the question is no, right? Like, no.
He really can't, because right now he doesn't know what
there
he's going to
so
do.
There are so many flags, there are so many flags around him that even if he does decide to resurface, your answer should be no.
Right, and again, you already have someone else anyway, so you sort of got one foot with one guy, one foot with another, so obviously you're not looking for commitment, so maybe he served a purpose. That you're not committed to the one you're with and you're not committed to him. Maybe this is, just you wanting to just have different people around you because you were in a long-term relationship, and maybe this is exactly what you need, just things that, give you a feeling of some stroking, some relationship, but doesn't really force you to be in, any kind of lasting or committed relationship at this point. And that's, that's fine. But,
Yeah, I mean, coming out of a 7-year relationship, it should be your motive. I mean, especially if you want to wind up with the right one, try a couple of people on. I mean, see where you
want
to go with
the game. I don't need advice in that area. Like, I'm good in that part. You want to know about this particular situation.
Good luck. And again, just if you get involved in long distance, and we have a lot of people that do this, just know that.
Oh, I'm not even going to try to do that again with anybody else.
If you get nothing else out of this reading, we love that. Try not to do that again. Well, good luck to you, and I'm sure you will find love. You have a very nice personality and spirit.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. I like the feisty caller. She's a feisty one.
Oh, she was a feisty.
She's cute. Now, I see you've been screening a little bit.
Yes, I have. We are moving on to, we're coming actually back home, Cindy. We are going to Long Island, and we're going to speak to Susan next. And Susan just wants to know, Cindy, is there anybody coming through with any messages for her?
Okay, that's a good question.
Short, sweet, simple, and to the point. So let's go see what Susan has to say.
Cindy.
Hello, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes,
I
am.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you, Cindy.
Now, I see you're still mourning for someone way too much. You had a lot of courage in your life. Are you aware of that? That you're by nature you have a lot of courage?
I like to think so.
Right, because you could use a little bit of courage right now. I mean, I got two different kinds of mourning cards, and are you getting messages from the afterlife by now? Because it seems like you're a person that has some psychic ability, whether you know it or not.
I sometimes, when I think I'm getting messages, I sometimes talk myself out of it, that maybe it was, sometimes I get messages, but I really don't grab onto them.
Okay.
As I said, I have had psychic experiences with other situations in the past, but for the person I want to connect with, I haven't, I don't think.
Okay. Is this a recent death?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I'm getting here is a very recent death. Excuse me. And first of all, this person is claiming to love you very much. Did you love the person as well?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a lover, husband kind of thing?
Yes, husband.
Yeah, husband. Because he said, no, he didn't say, I don't want to be her husband. I want to be her lover. So, I mean, I'm laughing at his expression to me.
Okay.
He said, I was her husband and she was my lover. And you have to know that he's a man crying. If he could be here, Susan, oh, my God, would he be here with you?
Okay.
He said you had a lot of courage. You have children as well?
I do. We have two adult children.
Right, because he's watching over you and the children. He's saying, remember us when we were a young, happy family. Young, happy family. Did you get a message from him like that?
No, but that's what I've been trying to do, because when he first passed, the first few months I had a lot of anger towards him. And
sure.
I've been trying to go back towards, there's a lot of decisions he made in his life, but I've been trying to think that I have to go back, and I have thought more of earlier times, and I have thought more about that I need to look at more pictures from the past, but it's been very hard for me to do. I haven't been able to do it yet.
Well, the thought, now, if you think you're not hearing your husband, he's the one that says, look at the pictures long ago. It's actually him saying. Now, you have to understand with your husband, he made a vow till death do us part, and he did not want it to be so soon, nor would he want to have left you. You know, he promises to love you and watch over you, but he couldn't be here unless he's going to be vital and healthy and strong.
You're right on target on everything, yes.
He's saying, I don't want somebody wiping my ass for 20 years. He's cracking up. He's a very funny man, by the way.
Yes.
For somebody recently dead, he's a riot. He's like, I don't want to wear a diaper, have people wipe my butt for 20 years. I mean, please, life's humiliating enough when you're wearing your big boy pants, let alone diapers. And very much saying, I don't want to be a burden to you, Susan. I know you would have taken care of me and you would have loved me. This is his words, and I know you would have wiped my ass if that was what I needed, but I don't want to do that to you. You're too young. You have too much life ahead of you to be strapped with someone who was old before his time.
Very much so, yeah.
And that he couldn't do that to you. He just couldn't do that to you. And you know, you can be mad at him all he wants. Oh, you want, he's saying, I really don't care. But I had to do what was best for you because I couldn't do what was best for me. At some level, he says, yes, I don't want to be here, people taking care of me. But do you think he wasn't scared for him to die? He said, I was scared too. But
I was
your husband, and my job is to protect you and take care of you. And I couldn't take care of you the way I was. I can take care of you now.
Okay.
He left you some money because he's talking about from the grave, some money. Do you have some money from him after his death?
Yes. It hasn't come yet, but it'll be coming very shortly. He left me his pension and everything. So
now,
very
he's saying to you, now think about that. I left you a pension. From the grave, I am taking care of you. And that you know that. That makes me feel better. He's also got some issues with his death. Do you know what that's about?
I don't know what you're referring to specifically. Should I tell you what he died of? Or
yes, because he's got some objection to his illness or whatever happened.
He had lung cancer, I mean he had a lot of risk factors, and I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, he was mad at certain doctors.
He's beyond mad because the half the stuff they were going to do or didn't do any good anyway.
Correct.
And
he's saying, yes.
And he said that my death was more painful, and I can't stress this enough from all the cancer victims in the recent years. Not 40 years ago. They did not say that their deaths were so painful. But treatments sometimes just make it worse. He's just saying, I didn't want any more treatments. I didn't want any more.
Yes, he had indicated that. And he was, I always said, he was very brave, and I always thought he felt worse than he said.
He said,
so
I was
saying,
in agony. I was in agony. Now, he says, I know that doesn't help for you because you're probably thinking, I wish I could have done something. But the treatments are so make things so much worse. Cancer itself is not painful. I spoke to a woman today whose father had died of cancer, and he got no treatments. By the time they knew it, he had 4 weeks, and he was gone, and he was in very little pain because that's the course of cancer. The course of chemo, radiation, and treatments is you burn like Nagasaki, like a nuclear bomb is going off in you. So he's saying, even if I had lived from the cancer, they destroyed my body.
Right.
So, you know,
and you're saying physical pain as well as emotional pain or just physical?
He was saying emotional pain to leave you, but more physical pain.
Okay.
He's saying, you know, he keeps showing me the soulmate lover card. He says, remember when I was young and vital and when we loved each other and when, you know, the early days. That's all he says. He doesn't want you to remember him at the end because that wasn't him anymore.
Okay.
It wasn't him. Do you understand that? He says, I don't even remember half of what I said. You know, the meds were talking. It wasn't even me anymore. They resent that they're over-medicated at some level. They want their brain, but they don't want pain. But, you know, hospice and things notoriously over-medicate. So, I mean, he has nothing really good to say about, you know, the doctors or any of that.
Right. No, I always said he hated every minute of being sick, and that's why it was easy for me to let him go at the time.
Exactly. And because
I said, what was I going to bring him back for nothing, you know, for more nonsense, which he hated.
Right. And he says, you know, that's how I felt. He needed you to tell him it was okay to go.
And that's what I did, even though, honestly, I loved him enough to let him go, and we told him that. We were able to stay with him, but it was tough, and unfortunately, one of my children really didn't, you know, wanted to sort of bring him back, but I didn't. But I knew that's what he would have wanted.
Right, and you have done everything that he wants. He is asking you to get rid of some of his things. You know, his underwear and stuff don't become a shrine when he dies. He just wants to.
But that's the only thing I have that still has snow on it. That's the problem. He's so clean. He showered every day. I have nothing with a lot of smells on it.
Okay, because when the smell goes, when the stink goes, you can get rid of him. He's very, very, very funny. He's up there with the man who's an alcoholic. Do you know who that is?
Probably his father.
Yeah, he says, me and Dad are up here getting drunk right now. We think this
is
a
exactly
riot.
My husband.
He says, we think this is a riot. Your husband says, we got one call from prison. That's what the two of them feel like.
Oh.
We are, you know, so happy. His dad liked you very much. I don't know if you knew that.
I think he did, but I didn't know really, but I'm glad I did.
He says I like you very much.
Okay.
And he says I got my boy back. He has some issues with his dad, but he says we're working on it.
Absolutely.
You know, they're, you know, playing some poker up there. They have a little fun. You know, he says we're having the best time that we can. If I could be here, I would be, but I would have to be vital.
Okay.
And that you were the best wife and lover. And he keeps saying the word lover than any man ever had. And he's funny. He says, I miss making love. I don't miss too much else about life. And I think that's very funny. He says, I could do without most of it. He's very, very funny.
Yeah.
You know our songs. You know the music he liked. When you hear the songs, you'll know he's around.
Okay.
And that, you know,
he
has
a singer. So
right.
I actually have a family singer, so I do actually have some CDs of him singing that I've been playing. And sometimes
And listen to the love songs that he sang, because that makes him still there with you. And that you made him be a better singer, a better father, a better person. And he said, thank God for you, because I went to a pretty nice realm of heaven. I don't know where I would have gone without you, Susan. He said, for the grace of God, I had you. And he's I'll tell you something very unique about him.
What?
He's recently dead, and he's very, very much thanking me. Like, it's not about him. It's about you and thanking me and Nicole for doing this for you. And I think that's a statement of who he was on earth and who he is in heaven.
Because I haven't been able to feel him around me, and now I'll be able to. And I guess he finally has been able to get me
connect with you.
He says,
I come down to watch television. He'll watch television with you about 100 hours a month. He's watching TV. He'll lie down with you when you're falling asleep.
Okay.
He is literally in your house and home. So, of course, they can't manifest or move things because that would frighten you. He says, as much as you might want to see me, you'd be go like, holy crap, if you saw him. He says, no, I can't do that. But he does move a little things or, you know, flicker things and tiny little things if you pay attention. But
okay.
He doesn't want to at all frighten you. Who's Joseph or Joe, by the way?
Joseph?
Uh-huh.
That's his father.
Because Joseph's going, I'll move things if you want me to. That's why I'm laughing. We don't want a drunk down
it
here.
It won't scare me. Yeah, it won't scare me at all. And I mean, everything you said is right on target as far as everything. Everything,
so,
the music,
you just need to know
everything.
That Joseph's a riot, because Joseph says, I don't mind moving things. You see, Joseph is in a very high realm of heaven. Your husband has to go sort of down to visit him. So Joe goes, I don't mind scaring people. I'll just go a little lower. What the hell does it make to me? But your husband's like, no, don't scare her. And if any man ever loved a wife, he says, I loved you. And forgive me, he says, I wasn't a saint. I was good enough. Don't make a saint of him, or no man could walk in his shoes. And he would like to bring you another soulmate when you're ready, when you're healed, which, you know, you're never going to be really healed. But he doesn't want you to be alone, because he says, you don't know how to do half the stuff in the house, and that house is going to fall apart without a man in there. So
I do a lot, but I've also had to hire people to help me, and I've had
because he's
going to
go broke. The pension is not that big. You still...
I know. Every time I do something, I know he's saying, what are you spending that money for? Because he never wanted to spend money on fixing up the house.
Right, and of course, that's what he's trying to tell you, that, you know, he'll bring you a man who could fix a few things, and, you know, he's toasting a little toast of champagne to you, and remembering your wedding day, and that was a very happy day for him. So, and he's saying, "I did it my." He's singing, "I did it my way," which I'm cracking up because he seems to have done everything his way, and his way or no way, even if it was wrong.
Oh my gosh, you are so right. That is exactly him.
So, you know, again, he will give you a very clear sign in the next day or two. You just have to pay a little attention. You're still at the stage of anger and mourning. It's harder to access you at that point. So give yourself a little time and a little space. But usually they're very funny. So they don't come scary at all. I mean, sometimes I'll just laugh my ass off with the dead. They're here all day in between things. They're a riot. I mean... they make fun of life. They give me, like, little insights. But it's thought forms mainly. Concentrate on that. He will put thoughts in your head. You have a daughter, by the way?
I do.
Because he misses her, and give her a big hug. And
She's having a real tough time. Very tough time. Very tough time.
He says, but she's a tough girl, so he's not worried. And you have one son also?
Yes.
Okay, because he's a little worried about your son, but... He says, I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of everything. I'll help them. He's crying and thanking me and saying, he couldn't believe you called in to the show, by the way. I don't know who told you to call in.
Well, if I tell you a story, I was going to email you tonight. I had actually emailed you, and we actually spoke about setting up a private reading, and I didn't tell you about who, and then... I had to cancel it, and you sent me another date, and I had something scheduled for that day, so I was waiting to hear from back from you, but you have been sending me your emails about your events, and I tried to call last week, and it's funny, I had just come from a bereavement group I've been going to, and I said, let me call in and see, if not, I'll listen, I'll always try to gain something, and I was lucky enough to get through.
No, you weren't lucky enough. Your husband wanted to make sure that you got through. And he goes, that bereavement group's enough to make anybody sad. I mean, he's like, not long. He's like, shit.
He would never go to something like that.
He's like, shit, I'd never go to that.
He would never do something like that. It was
See, that's what I'm laughing. He goes, after that, you either need a drink or you need to talk to Cindy, but you need something.
You've hit every nail on the head, Cindy. I can't tell
you. So I have to laugh at him, how funny he is. And that's why I said the dead are incredibly funny, and they just want us to know that they're there. So thank you for calling in, and I'm glad that...
thank you so much, Cindy. It's made the world a difference for me.
Really.
Good, and thank you so much. Nicole, we're at the end of our show. I'm sorry we didn't get to get the, some people you screened, but maybe we can take
Laura.
Yes, Laura's.
Well, I already told Laura that if we were running out of time, then to email you. And actually, Laura will also be emailing you regarding a personalized reading for herself. So,
okay,
Laura,
good.
You got that message. Please just email Cindy, and we'll get you on next week, or you can arrange something else with Cindy.
I see her number now,
so
I'll just write down her number now,
okay.
By the way.
Great.
And then, Laura, I have your number, so if you want to, you know, call in, we'll put you to the top of the list next week. So, wasn't Susan a doll? Didn't you just love her? Didn't
oh
you love
God,
her husband?
Oh, my God, so adorable. Oh, my, he is hysterical.
Isn't he the funniest thing? And, you know, it's so funny, he says to me, you always doubt that you're talking to the dead. Why? And because I always do, I'm like, am I really talking to this guy? You're talking to me! He's screaming at me.
Well, you want to know what's funny about that, too? Is because, like, while, because, I mean, he came through very, very clearly for you, you know? And, I mean, I was, like, a little bit in tune tonight or whatever. I was a little bit off tonight from my normal. I don't think I concentrated enough. But, like, normally, like, whenever I do get information, that's, like, one of the things that I always do. Is that me just talking to myself, or is that somebody else giving me the info? You know? Like,
right, so, you know, so I'm going like this. So I just had that thought. Do I really talk to dead people? And he goes, what, are you stupid? He says,
I do it all the time, Cindy. I do it all the time. I keep thinking, like, am I just having an epiphany? You know, I mean, am I just having, like one of those epiphanies or whatever where this is just stuff that has been locked someplace in my brain where it's just coming to light right now? Or I'm like, or am I getting information? And you.
And that's exactly what happened to me. And here's this man saying to me, you got to be kidding me that you doubt it. And I'm just
wow.
You know, and I just thought that was the sweetest line I've ever heard from a person who's crossed over. And that alone was worth Susan's call coming through, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, you know, I think for both of them, you know, I mean, I think that it was great that he came through so clearly. And I think that it was wonderful that Susan got to hear what she really needed to hear. So my shout out to Susan tonight because, you know, she's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Nicole, we'll speak next week. And
absolutely, we will.
And, you know, it is so funny because you stepped in with the other call. I was like, I don't even know what to say, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You always start to stumble over yourself whenever it's a difficult, you know, thing to say. You know, I think I'm a little bit more brazen with that, you know. And I think, and, you know, for me, I could tell that she can handle it. You know, she was very, very, you know, assertive. She wanted to know what she wanted to know. That was it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just, you know, she just wanted an answer, you know. Unfortunately,
right, and
like,
that's true. And that's your thing.
Yeah.
Mine, I'm trying to give this
yeah,
the 8,000 scientific reasons why we can't know.
Exactly, you know, and that's why I kind of jumped in on that one, Cindy, because I know that you don't like being the bearer of bad news, you know, I don't mind it so much, so I'll go straight for it, you know.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, and we'll all speak next week.
And we will speak next week, Cindy. Take care and have a great week. You did a great job tonight, as always.
Bye.
Bye.